This morning we're looking at the refiner's fire. You might have picked it up in the passage. It said God will be like a refiner's fire. Just to remind us, especially because we've got the younger people with us and we haven't had them hear about it, but we've got a memory verse here for the year. This is never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And we said it breaks down into three things. We want to have spiritual fervor, we want to hold on to spiritual fervor, and we want to hand it out to others. So we've got to have it, hold it, hand it. Kids, say that. Have it, hold it, hand it. And last week we looked at the pillar of fire and we saw how God guides us. We saw how God wants to partner with us in guidance. We saw this idea of wrestling with God over challenging issues, things maybe we don't want to do, but we wrestle with God. It actually leads to a friendship, a deeper friendship and intimacy with God. And we also saw that if you look at that pillar of fire, it talks about being the angel of the Lord, which later we get to find out is probably Jesus. And so Jesus is the God who guides us. We had these two passages read for us this morning. We had Malachi. This was a prophecy written 550 years before Christ was born. It talks about a messenger to come. This messenger will prepare the way for the Lord. And then the Lord will come to purify our lives, to purify our worship. And then we saw in Matthew that John the Baptist, this prophet in the desert who ate locusts. Would you like to eat a locust? I'm not sure, but he did. And he had honey. Well, we've had some honey this morning. He ate locusts and honey. And he was the messenger that prepared the way for the Lord. And he said, this person to come has arrived. And that person we know is Jesus. And so by inference, because he said, prepare the way for the Lord, Jesus is the Lord God. And John calls for repentance and baptism. But we get to find out that the religious leaders turn their heads, but they don't turn their hearts. And John goes on to say, I baptize you with water for repentance, but Jesus, who's coming, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Have you ever heard of rubbernecking? Do you know what rubbernecking is? That's what people do when there's an accident on the motorway. They go, and because they're slowing down to look at that, is there any sort of, you know, any nasty things to see there? Everyone slows down. It causes massive trail backs. And I think that's what was happening to the religious leaders. The religious leaders were rubbernecking. They turned their heads to have a look, but they didn't really turn their hearts to God. And so John challenges them that it's more than rubbernecking. And so how do we experience real change in our lives? That's one of the things we're looking at today. How do we experience real change in our walk with Christ? And I want to offer us three things that I think the text says. Three things to hold on to that are very simple. Firstly, we have to turn around. Repentance is this Greek word metanoia. And it really comes from this meaning to change our mind, to change our perspective, to change our purpose. And it literally means a 180 degree turning away from sin and towards God. The second thing is we've got to get some help. John says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I want to propose this, that I think repentance and baptism only changes the outside. And what John is trying to say is, after me comes somebody who's going to baptize you with fire and with the Holy Spirit. If we remember looking back to that first message, the fire in the bush, we said that fire reminds us that God is holy and he has to consume everything that is against his holiness. And that's the message of Jesus, that our sin was consumed by Jesus on the cross. He dealt with it. He can change us. He's dealt with our blockage to change. He's done that. But then also Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit that's going to help us change. If you like to think of it this way, this looks a little bit like my dog. It's not our dog, but I picked it up on the internet. He had a bath yesterday and he's all clean. He's like been baptized. He can lie on the sofa. Good Christian dog. But it isn't very long before he's outside again, off on his walk, and he's covered in mud. And it is really hard to have sustained change without help. And we are offered help. We're offered Jesus, who will baptize us with fire. Jesus coming to change us. Jesus is the God who has lived for us. He's died for us. He's risen for us. He's ascended and he's sent the Holy Spirit. And so he's given us all that we need to help us change. Thirdly, we are to produce real fruit. John says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. And there's different types of fruit. This is what I call like Pharisee fruit. This is like making your life like a Christmas tree. You put a little bit of sort of fake fruit on the outside, you know, you dress up nice, go to church, say the right things. You look lovely on the outside, but you're dead on the inside. And you know, who of you would like to eat that orange there? It probably didn't taste very good, does it? It's probably like fake. These are the dead works that Paul talks about and James talks about. So we can have come to church and look good on the outside, but we're not being changed on the inside. Or we can have real fruit. This is God changing us and making us more like him on the inside so it affects the outside. This is God's grace helping us to change and bear fruit. This is God's power through the Holy Spirit helping us change and bear fruit. And this is the Holy Spirit working with us to help us bear fruit. So a couple of fruitfulness accelerators, I call them. How can we make our lives fruitful? We need to apply God's word. This is really, really important. I was reading that since the invention of the phone, almost no young person reads a book these days. And Bible reading has gone out of the window. But Jesus says this about the word of God. But the seed falling, this is the seed of the word of God, falling on good soil, refers to somebody who hears the word and understands it. So maybe, you know, Bible apps that read it out for you, that counts. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So Jesus says we've got to listen to the word. We've got to read it. We've got to understand it. And we've got to apply it to our lives. But there's also a second accelerator of fruitfulness, and that's the Holy Spirit. We need to invite the Holy Spirit to change us. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the character of Jesus that the Spirit helps us to bear. And so these are fruitfulness accelerators. And I thought to myself, well, let me just have a little look. I Googled change. How do you change your life? And I found a little thing on Wiki, how to do anything. And this is what Wiki says about change. It says, all meaningful change must come from within. And I thought, oh, that's interesting, because the Bible says that Jesus sends his Spirit to live within us and to help us change. Another one I thought was, it said there was practice positive affirmation. Okay, we, you know, in the secular world, you got to say, yeah, you're doing a good job. I've got this sort of Couch to 5K app, and it really offers loads of things. You know, I'm like, I can hardly run, but they're like, keep going, you can do it. Just think how you'll feel at the end. But we actually have a God who's very affirming, because God offers us his grace. The law says you've got to do this and that, and it just beats us up. But Jesus says, I've done everything that was needed. Just give over your life to me and let me do the work of changing you. And that's why Paul says to the Ephesians, I want you to know how long and wide and high and deep is the love of God for you in Jesus Christ. You know, if you know how much you're loved and you're affirmed in your love, it helps us to change. The Lord doesn't. The Lord says, yeah, you naughty. Yes, I feel a failure. I just can't do it. And you can't. But if God is there, he can change us. And the last thing they said, take care of your body and your mind. And I love that little passage in Romans 12, verses 1. It says, you know, in view of God's mercy and in view of the gospel, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let the gospel, let my grace transform the way that you think. So three short thoughts for today. So how do we create real change? We turn around. This is this metanoia. We say, well, I'm sorry, God, for my sin, and I turn to God, and I start following Jesus, the Lord. But get help. You know, the Lord doesn't help us. That's what the whole thing about the Old Testament is. The Lord just makes your life miserable, all the rules. But you need a Savior who's actually done all the rules perfectly and now says to you, just follow me. I've completed everything. Just follow me, and I will make you change. I will give you the Spirit instead of the law to help you change. And then we are to produce fruit. You know, that's the end goal. It's not just, you know, I won't pick on Baptist churches here, but Baptist Church in America, it's, you know, become a Christian and it's a bit of fire insurance, you know, no more hell, you know. And that's all that people do. But it's actually just come to Jesus, turn your life around and let him change you. Invite him to change you and to produce fruit. So turn around, get help, and produce fruit. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for all of the things you have to say in your word. And we thank you that hundreds of years before Jesus came, a messenger was promised to pave the way for the Lord. And John came and he paved the way for you, Lord Jesus, reminding us that you're the Lord. You're the Lord who calls us to turn around and to follow you. You're the Lord who offers us help. You know, we have this problem with sin, but you have, in a sense, burnt it by fire on the cross. We are clean. We can come before you. You've given us the Holy Spirit, not the law, to change our hearts. And Lord, help us by your grace and by your Spirit to produce fruit in our lives, to produce fruit in this church, and to produce fruit in our community, we pray. Amen.